Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. Glad you find me every weekend. My numbers are still going up. I like it. I'm not even sure how that's happening. Every week or two, I find out I'm on a different or another podcast, and I'm getting more and more hits. And I like this because I can track it better. If you ever want to hear my shows, I don't care where you're listening right now, whether you're on Spotify or maybe Apple Podcast, you can go directly to my URL, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E dot Dooley, D-E-U-L-E-Y .com. And there's no advertising, there's no nothing. It's just show after show. So if you're looking for a particular show, it goes back years. I don't know how much. I don't know how far they let me carry. But anyway, I just want to bring that up and enjoy the show. Why do dark skies matter? I pulled this information from a Mary Jo DiLardo and several other places. I think I got part of it from Cambridge University. There's a number of cities, even the little town that I live in right now. I'm in a small town I'm in Comfort, Texas, in the hills north of San Antonio. And there's a good movement here. We're making this a dark sky town. And it's good for the environment. It's enjoyable. And it's really good by environment, the insects, the birds that it affects, nature in general, even plants that live near artificial light. It changes them. So it is a part of our environment, and more we can control it, the better it'll actually be for us in general. If you really want to see the stars out at night, how far would you have to travel from your front door right now? Up to about 100 years ago, the night sky was dark. But with the ever-increasing use of artificial light, our world is literally illuminated 24/7. Some of you may have seen these shots from the satellites at night, just how much of this country and the whole world is lit up 24 hours at a time. The result is light pollution, defined by the International Dark Sky Association. Yes, that exists too. As an inappropriate or excessive use of artificial light. A nonprofit, they have more than 60 chapters around the world. The IDA advocates the protection of the night sky and is recognized by most anybody that's really interested as the authority on light pollution. Now, what are some of the risks of this constant illumination? The federally funded National Optical Astronomy Association estimates that poorly aimed and unshielded outdoor lights waste more than 17 billion, get that number, billion kilowatts of energy each year in the United States alone. Using citizen scientist NOAO, we're going to do from now on, tracks light pollution with its Globe at Night program. More than 100,000 measurements have been contributed from people in 115 countries so for about the last 9 years. The data shows that light pollution, of course, is an ever-growing problem. The latest numbers I can find, the U.S. Department of Energy estimates that about 15% now of home electricity usage goes towards outdoor lighting. That's a pretty good chunk. More than one-third of that light is just lost to sky glow. It's just there. The artificial brightness of the night sky resulting in they estimate, probably wasting as much as $3 billion each year wasted just on, in essence, useless light, light not being really of any value. About 15 million tons of carbon dioxide are released each year to power those outdoor lights. And the IDA estimates that wasted light releases about 21 million tons of CO2 annually. A lot of wasted energy and a lot of CO2. As a comparison, think about it this way. I found this note somewhere else. The amount of sky glow waste energy in the United States, okay, each time, each day, is enough to run 3 million passenger cars. 3 million. Okay, that's about 40,000 tons of CO2 a day. And my personal peeve on this, for everybody that's listened to me for years, you know, one of my jobs, one of the things I did and loved younger years of my life, was tag sea turtles for a living. Well, I didn't make much of a living, but I was involved. Disrupting wildlife and ecosystems is very important. Light at night throws off the biological clocks of a lot of nocturnal animals. It definitely affects sea turtles in a lot of ways. First, by discouraging them from nesting in the first place. And this is through a group I work with, the Sea Turtle Conservancy. Baby sea turtles, which hatch at night in most places, there's one exception, typically find their way to sea by looking for the horizon lights. Artificial lights along the shore throw them off and draw them the wrong way from the ocean. Artificial lights can interfere with the migration patterns of other animals, like nocturnal birds, of course, because we now have learned, years ago, that those birds use the stars and the moon for their navigation. Birds can become disoriented by lights and may collide with brightly lit towers and buildings and even glass windows, of course. And for frogs and toads, when wet-time croaking is interrupted, so is their mating ritual and their reproduction rates, just because there's too much light around. For the many, many years past, of course, wildlife species were evolved on this planet with biological rhythms. We now know that changing that has profound effects on a number of different species. And interestingly, some studies have now linked artificial light at night to increased risk of diabetes, obesity, depression, and even some cancers, as well as obvious sleep disorders. Specifically, when our bodies don't spend enough time in the dark, we don't make enough of the hormone melatonin. We've all read about melatonin. Melatonin helps maintain your sleep-wake cycle, as well as regulate some of your body's hormones. It may have other key roles, including strengthening the immune system. We don't even know all of the effects yet. It's an ongoing study. And the American Medical Association even released a report called, and I'll quote it here, Light Pollution, Adverse Health Effects of Nighttime Lighting. The report is a review of research that looks at nighttime lighting and its health effects on people. And that study concludes the natural 24-hour cycle of light and dark helps maintain precise alignment of, quote-unquote, circadian biological rhythms, the general activation of the central nervous system, and various biological and cellular processes, including the entrainment of melatonin release from, quote-unquote, the pineal gland. Might be getting a little deep here. Pervasive use of nighttime lighting disrupts these processes and creates potentially harmful health effects and or hazardous situations with varying degrees of harm. Because light at night can be so potentially problematic, the IDEA we talked about earlier has created Dark Sky Places Program. It started back in the very 2001, to encourage communities worldwide, not just here, to adapt responsible lighting policies to cut back on light pollution. The latest number I can find is about 100 communities that I can verify. That includes park reserves, sanctuaries, and planned developments that have met the program's rather rigorous standard and fulfill the application status to achieve official Dark Sky Places designated status. I don't know where comfort is right now, but I do know we're working towards it, and I'll kind of keep you informed. If we get that status, I will definitely let everybody know. I did find this little tidbit of information. In Dripping Springs, which isn't very far from us at all, Dripping Springs, Texas, all holiday light must be small bulbs on a strand, low-output lamps to light up yard art, or temporary spotlights with illumination that can't be seen from anyone else's property. A good start. And one other place I happened to come across, and I have actually been there and didn't realize how important it was at the time. There's no permanent artificial lighting at the quote-unquote cosmic campground in western New Mexico, one of only two dark sky sanctuaries. It gives campers a 360-degree unobstructed view of the total night sky. The nearest source of any electrical lighting is more than 40 miles away, and that's across the border in extremely eastern Arizona. And so that was an aside. I actually did have for a time a home in Fort Davis, Texas, and it is a true dark sky area. If you've not been to a true dark sky area and you go, you're going to be amazed just with the naked eye what you see that you don't ever see with light that's polluting us most of the time in all the normal cities and towns we live in. It was very interesting. You went out at the night and you could see nebula and things that I've only read about. So it is an exciting change. And again, I my big kick is that it is deaf. So what if you don't live in an official dark sky place? Well, that doesn't mean you can't take some steps to help dim the lights in your area. Of course, don't light an area if it's not necessary. I see people with lights their field and back of their house, and I'm not sure what they're looking for. Turn off lights when you're not using them. And a lot of people don't do that. And don't use excessive illumination. If you need enough to get from a carport to your house, make a light there. But you don't need 500 watts, folks. You know, just get a light. One that I've begun to do, I have some right here, is use timers, dimmers, and motion sensors when possible. The motion sensor, I used to hate them. But now when I do live in the country and it's really dark and my vision's not what it was and neither is my walking ability, when I park my car and I open the door or when I pull my car up, the light comes on. It gets you to your house. 30 seconds later or so, it turns back off. Very inexpensive. Now, you can actually get them that are solar powered. So you don't even have to ever worry about electricity. You can set that light anywhere you want. And it gets enough sun power during the day for as many trips as you're going to make coming and going from your car at night. And I think the investment's like $20. So not a bad idea at all. And look for full cutoff or fully shielded lighting fixtures. They're becoming more and more common and less expensive. And of course, use energy efficient lighting sources always. And what do I mean by that? LEDs, I guess in one sentence. LEDs have become extremely efficient. An 8-watt or 9-watt LED puts out as much light as a 60-watt light bulb used to. They cost a dollar or two more at the most now. They're very competitive. They last 5 to 10 times longer. And interesting, and I have not seen the end of the study, there are studies that show that particular, I don't know if it's the wavelength or what, seems to less affect certain insects and for certain animals less than tungsten lighting did. So if I learn more about that, I'll sure let you know. So anyway, got off on my my soapbox today on lighting, but let's, sounds strange, let's keep it dark. It's really better for all of us. Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters.